The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza-Hillman here today, now, in this space and time. I am joining you from my little podcast studio here in on the Mendocino coast of California, bringing you my weekly show called the Approaching the Natural Podcast, episode 161, and the 161st time I've tried to do something slightly different at the beginning of this podcast. That's a world record, everybody, and I'm better for it. Thank you for joining me, one and all. If you're just joining me for the first time, undecided. Stay on the fence for a while, okay? Don't get off the fence. You're on the fence. Stay there. If you've been here before, you're not on the fence because you came here before. You're a glutton for punishment. That's okay. That's what we do here. Small stepping is about feeling worse about your life. It's about feeling worse about you as a person. It's having less self-confidence, less self-esteem. It's putting more pressure on yourself, given everything else you have to deal with. It's about piling more pressure on that. It's about taking on so much that you burn out and feel like a failure. These are all the themes that I condone and explore week to week. And not. Got it? Good. You guys, we're going to get into some stuff here today as we do. Okay, so welcome one and all. I do come here every week to try and help you guys negotiate a healthier and happier existence in the modern world without having to change up too much, right? Without having to just buy honey, going to live back in the mountains and just grow my beard to the ground. And because I think that's better, because Sid said approaching the natural. So screw that. I'm just going to go all the way. I'm just going to go all the way. Say bye to the kids for me. Okay, good. I'll be home by dinner. I am involved in a meal plan called Health Made Simple with Matt Frazier, and I like to announce that every week in case you guys are interested in dialing in a, via small steps, mind you, a way of eating that is simple, easy, regular, doesn't take too much space in your brain. Boom! That's the subject of this week's episode. I'm not there yet, but in the first 2 minutes, I touched upon it. Another world record, everybody. This is a banner week for me. Health Made Simple, nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. I may or may not have overslept this morning and not gotten on a podcast with Matt. And here's why. Not an excuse, but it's an excuse. Okay. My kids are off school this week. And so last night I was editing a new video on my YouTube channel. Subscribe for the love of all that's holy. And was up late, and I was like, oh man, how awesome is it? My kids are off school this week. That means I don't have to get up and get them ready for school. And so my wife and I are like, awesome. Like, I gotta go to work, so I'm not gonna sleep in till freaking 1 p.m., as if I could do that anyway, but I'm gonna just let it ride. And I did. I let it rode till like 7:30, which if you have kids or twins, that is sleeping in. That's the 1 p.m. for people who have twins. And so I got up at 7:30 and I kind of wandered into the kitchen, turned the coffee machine on, checked my email from Matt saying, are we still on? And I was like, oh no. Sorry, Matt. So we're doing that again Wednesday. Why do you care? I don't know. But if you're a member of Health Made Simple, we do a now, in addition to our monthly live Q&As, we also do a little what we call a health cast, a little podcast episode with him and me just talking the talk and about stuff that's coming up, sometimes dealing with questions that people have that are members and all that kind of stuff. It's one of the cool things that makes our meal plan completely different than anything else. And I'm digging that because we are different from everybody else. Okay. But more importantly, this episode and all this podcast is brought to you by you guys. Okay. Look, I'm honest about the fact that I don't have, you know, sponsors knocking down my door. However, I really like that I don't have sponsors knocking down my door. I think that would probably put me in a bind just in my brain, like I should probably do this because if I have sponsors, then they pay me. I like not having to do ads and that whole deal. I don't have to wrestle with any sort of moral things of like, do I believe in this company or do I don't? I don't. It's just not on my radar. I love it. And I love the fact that you guys are donating to this podcast to help me bring this to you every week. And so thanks to you, I am coming here and still doing it. And it's not just the donations. It's also stuff that people buy off my website, which is major help. Okay. More on that in a minute. All right. And also just on a completely other practical way, just giving me iTunes reviews and ratings. You can just hit a star and you've punched a little vote for this thing, and it puts it out into the world. Okay. And then more people get on it, and then so on and so forth. Okay. If you are just joining me, I am a certified nutritionist. I'm a health coach. I help people all over the country, sometimes in Europe, and learn my small steps approach. What small steps approach, you ask? The one that I come here and also talk about every week in this freaking free podcast. How cool is that, right? And touch upon in my YouTube channel. So it's all content coming at you. And if you dig and you think, well, that's kind of cool, I'd like to float him literally $2 a month. That's amazing. Got it? I also head up the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn, stanfordinn.com. And I always like to push or at least plug. I'm not getting a commish off this, by the way. But there's a Dining at the Ravens cookbook and The Art of Play by Joan Stanford, who's an art therapist. And she did a really cool book on the creative process. And I will be having her on the podcast soon. She was on before, and I'm having her on again to discuss the creative process. I don't want to let that go. And I feel like it gets let go. I feel like I used to be a full-time singer-songwriter. I mean, that's what I spent most of my time doing. I made my living as an actor, if you must know, but my passion and time was spent writing and creating music and recording it and touring and playing live and all that kind of stuff. And it's a crucial part of my message and my approach, even with clients. It's like, I broach that subject with clients. Like, here's possibilities to go on your steps list, creative pursuits, things that you in a million years never thought you had time for. Well, I don't have time to do that. Well, when you learn the small steps system, you realize, yeah, totally do. It's just a matter of finding something that you dig. I mean, how cool is it that we get to actually ask the question, do I want to do this? Because we don't. We feel like we should in all these different areas. I should eat better. I should exercise. I should whatever, right? But when you actually realize you have time for a whole bunch of different stuff, then it's just a matter of, do you like it or not? If you've never drawn a picture in your life, but you kind of have an interest, then what has always stopped you in the past, which is, I'm not good at it, I don't have time, I can't afford the art supplies, I don't have time to take a class or whatever I think being an artist means, I'm not going to be, you know, create something amazing that I can sell, all that goes out the window. Then you're like, yeah, kind of sounds fun. I'm just going to try it. And I'm going to try it by doodling on a piece of paper 3 times a week. And because I'm a small stepper, I'm not attaching any like self-esteem value to the quality of the artwork, but you're damn straight I'm attaching self-esteem and value to the fact that I'm taking on my life and treating myself well by doing something that's fun, okay? And I'm sorry, but I'm obviously angry. I can hear my voice. I'm obviously angry about something. I don't know what. Here's what I'm partially angry about, if you guys must know. It's the coffee I'm drinking right now. That pisses me off. You want to know why? It doesn't taste that great. It's a sort of like a seed extra. You've heard me. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted by the conversation. It was in the cupboard. I didn't want to make an espresso. It's low caffeine, so I'm kind of digging it. Here's what I discovered today from a podcast listener who Instagrammed me this thing. It's cold brew coffee, and it's like this Japanese 3-tiered, just nutty nut in the best way, like machine. Not really machine, but it's like this tower that I don't even know if my ceilings are high enough to accommodate, but in the very top you put like ice cold water, and then the middle chamber in glass is like the coffee grounds, and it goes through this swirly glass tube that's like chitty chitty bang bang, and then it drips very ever so quietly and softly and meditatively into a glass container at the bottom, and I think it takes 16 years to brew one 32-ounce. I may be exaggerating, but something like that. And people love it. They think it's the best thing ever because it's like low acid. So I need to look into it. I'm just saying, it's that I have tried lots of different kinds of, I love coffee. Okay, if you go to SidGarzaHillman.com, you will find a free chapter of my book if you put your email address in the little pop-up thing that comes up there. Newly designed, by the way, thank goodness. You can donate to my podcast. You can buy t-shirts, mugs, bracelets, buy a custom signed copy of my book. The big news, of course, is that the Nutty Nut Nut shirts are out and rolling. Apologies to anybody who was delayed, but they went out last week and this week. I had to wait for envelopes to come in. When they did, I spent just one night, just it for like 4 hours. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. 4 hours sitting in front of a stupid movie, just packing Nutty Nut Nut shirts and some books and mugs. Like, people, just, you guys are awesome. Okay, I just sincere, for real, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you dig the shirts, and you're going to be getting them any day now, okay? And if you haven't bought one, then what's freaking stopping you, okay? Organic cotton, recycled polyester blend, great quality shirt, and it says Nutty Nut Nut on the front. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? I don't know. This weekend is the Mendocino Healthy Running Retreat. I think there's a couple spaces left, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, go to mendoevents.net. Coach Tom is a code. Okay, and there's actually an added cooking class, which is kind of cool, that I'll be co-teaching with a chef named Kyle Evans, who I worked with before. He was the head chef at Raven's Restaurant at the Stanford Inn, and I've kept in touch with him, and he's awesome. And so he and I are going to do a little co-cooking class dealio with some running and yoga and classes by me and awesome stuff and meals by him. Boom. Atlanta Veg Fest, November 12th, which is amazing. It's around the corner. It's happening, right? Well, I don't know what the date is, the 17th today. So it's like 3 weeks away or so, and that's pretty cool. And then I'm running the North Face 50K, more on that in a minute, December 3rd, and Marshall, Texas Health Fest, March of 2017. And I don't know what else is going on in 2017. I haven't locked anything else up, okay? Got it? All right. The social media, Sid Garza Hillman, blah, blah, blah. YouTube, here we go. Two more videos. I'm doing 2 weeks still. That may change, by the way, if I get to cracking on the... I'm talking to my publisher of my first book, who seems to want to jump in on the second book. And if that happens, then I'm going to be hunkering down. I will continue the podcast, just FYI. But I may back the videos off a little bit, just because I'm going to be working full-time and writing a book. And last time I did that for Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, it just about killed me. So I'm trying to figure out a way to get that done a little bit better and easier on me, because it took a lot. I aged 87 years in 6 months. That's a scientifically, by the way, proven. I was studied. And pre ultra marathons. So I aged 87 years and still 3 years later pulled off a 50 miler run. That's pretty amazing, right? Okay. Two YouTube videos. Healthy is not just for the wealthy. And a world without food. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about a world without food video, because not everybody who listens to the podcast watches my videos, and vice versa. Here's what I touched upon in that movie, okay? It's what I call the second task. And I don't think I've broached this subject in any podcast yet. I've talked about the first task a lot, which is sort of the ground floor level of my approach of, like, write who you are as if it's happening now. Not I will be thin, but I am at a healthy weight, as if it's happening now, regardless of whether you are or not. It's just sort of the me, not me game. It's you guys know. It's the foundation of this work is, first and foremost, find out who you are. You've got to learn to forget every single thing you've ever done, which may be in conflict with that person. So that's 90% of the difficulty in this process, but you got to forget it. Pretend that you have a veil over your head, that you can't see anything, how you've been doing nothing. You have no idea what your relationship patterns are, how you eat, how you exercise, nothing. And then you go, who am I if I'm living perfectly? Because somebody goes, oh man, you are totally you all the time. But just write down for me who that is. And you go, oh yeah, cool. I eat healthy food most of the time. And sometimes when I don't sweat it, because I just have fun with it. And I move my body in ways that aren't stressful. And I have a really healthy relationship. And it's based on honesty and communication. And there's not a lot of, like, dependency there. I'm doing things that make me healthy and happy also. And we come, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? Whatever that is for you. Got it? Boom, and there it is. And then the small steps approach happens, where you begin to now take small steps to become that person when the veil comes off and you realize, okay, well, like 80% of that stuff I haven't been doing, but it still is me. Okay, now I'm in a small step to be more me. Okay, my approach in a nutshell. There it was. That's what I do with clients. And I'm just coaching them throughout that whole time. I'm working with them each week, 7 days a week, literally. If you ever work with me, you know, you're in touch with me 7 days a week. And we we craft this kind of thing through this period of month to teach you the system of, okay, well, how do I keep this direction going? Not at the end of the month, you're going to lose 15 pounds, but at the end of the month, you're going to be a small stepper who is eventually going to lose 15 pounds if that's your bag. I don't know what your bag is. We find out, but I'm just saying. Then we go midway through to the second task. And this is what I touched upon in the video, but I'm going to go a little bit more in depth here, a little bit. The second task is a scenario that I crafted, and it's this. Imagine a world where it's like a freaking trailer over here. Imagine a world where there is no food or drink. And I mean none. No, not for fun, not an option, not for useless, just nothing. Nobody even eats or drinks anything. They don't know it. They don't miss it. It's gone. It's not on the table. Imagine that. And then I say, write what your life would look like in that scenario. But part of this thing, and I want you guys to sort of focus on that a little bit this week as an exercise. Before they write what their life would look like, I first ask them to quantify financially and time-wise their food investment, their daily food investment, essentially. And here's what I mean. How much money do you spend on average per day? On average per day. So you spend $300 a week in groceries for a family, which, by the way, is not freaking unheard of. That's about what we spend. So averaged out by 7 days, $40+ a day. Okay, I'm not a mathematician. What am I, freaking Matt Frazier? And so, 40-ish a day. Then how much time? How much time do you devote to? Here we go. Ready? Shopping on average per day. Prepping on average per day. Cooking on average per day. Cleaning on average per day. And mostly thinking about food on average per day. I.e., what are we going to eat tonight? Do we have I got to go back to the market because I forgot to get this, and this. And oh my gosh, I got to get this done. I got to learn this new recipe and I should watch this video. And I'm also stressed about the fact that I overate too much. And so that adds to the time, right? I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that many of a client has said, on average, about 2 hours a day when they really add it up. And sometimes, by the way, more. I'm not even kidding. Per day. Just when you add all that stuff up, your time in your market and that's not even including the money, but just the time in the market and the prep and the cleaning and the packing the kids' food and all this kind of stuff. And that's, by the way, if you have kids, that goes into the equation. Is if you're making your kids' lunches, you're dealing with food. Okay? Okay. Now, cut to this scenario. No food. You're not packing your kids' lunches. You're not packing water bottles for your kid. You're not doing snacks when they get home from work. From school. You're not doing snacks when you get home from work. You're not making dinner. You walk in the door and you put your bag down in your home and you don't walk into the kitchen. Your kitchen has now become a storage for Nutty Nut Nut shirts because you just bought a whole bunch and you wear one per day because you don't want to wear a dirty shirt ever and you don't want to ever do wash. I get it. I understand. There's too much laundry in my house right now. Okay, I'm totally going to get off on a tangent. This reminded me of one of my favorite Tom Waits song, which is Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis. Sorry, but that's the name of the... Get mad at Tom. Don't get mad at me. But it's just absolutely beautiful. Like, one of the best written songs ever, ever. It's so beautiful and heartbreaking and everything. But she says if she had money, she would buy a used car lot and not sell any of them. Just drive a different car every day, depending on how she feels. Oh, but I digress. So back to the second task. So you are walking in the door. You're getting up the next morning. No coffee, because there's no coffee. There's no coffee to be had. There's no water. There's no breakfast. There's no oatmeal. There's no snacks on the way to work. There's no nothing. Lunch break at work. I'm going to clock out for an hour and just... That's the task. What does your life look like? Now, you might ask, but I can't get around. Like, how would I live? Okay, so I added a little sci-fi part of the equation, which is during the night, you plug in and you get all the everything physically that you need. Hydration, calories, micronutrients, the whole deal, the whole package, perfectly adjusted no matter what activity you do the next day, run or just sleep all day, you're in balance. It's done. It's your body gets exactly what it needs, not more, not less. It gets rid of what it doesn't. It has everything it needs. Done. So there's literally, you don't, when you meet a friend, you don't meet at a restaurant or a coffee house because there are none. It's not over food. Okay, now, here we go. Ready? Now, what does your life look like? What does your life look like? Now you've got 2, possibly 3 hours per day free. Okay? What does it look like? What do you do on your lunch break when you're not eating? Because you don't even think about eating. And you're not missing food, by the way, because there's just no food. It's not a mental energy. You don't sit around for an hour and go, man, I really miss that food that Sid took away from me in this hypothetical. There just is not in your radar. What do you do? What does your life look like? If you think it's an easy task, it's not. I've had many clients who have a really hard time visualizing that. Food takes up a very huge amount of time in most of our lives, including me. And if you're wondering why I've talked about for now literally years probably my dial back day, hashtag dial back day, it's because that's what that is. The dial back day came from me going, what if I just simplified things so much on a given day, just one day, where I didn't have to think so much about food, where prep time was near nothing, where cleaning was near nothing, where shopping is nothing because I know exactly what to get and where because I do the same thing every Monday. And part of the, part of the meal plan that Matt and I do is to teach people to learn our system to eventually get to the point where they eat the same thing every Monday, the same thing every Tuesday, if they're open to that, because just Monday through Thursday, and then weekends, they kind of, when they have time, they just do whatever. And the reason is because in knowing what you're going to be doing day to day, there's just less of all that stuff. Of course, we have to eat, of course, but most of us, if we spend a little time at this kind of exercise, can realize that we can simplify things to the point where we cut the amount of time and sometimes even money significantly. And I mean significantly. So I've sort of then taken it to the next level because of the research I've been doing on metabolism and just kind of looking and going, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. And realizing, oh my gosh, I don't have to eat every time. So now my dial back day, which is today, is just not eating all day. I just drank water all day. Didn't miss it. Not hungry. Here's the only time I got hungry. Ready? I smelled something in the Ravens restaurant kitchen. And then I was like, oh man. But I wasn't hungry. It wasn't hunger. I hadn't had a pang of hunger all day. I was just drinking water, had a couple espressos, had some tea. Just fine. Getting a ton of stuff done. Loved it. Guess what I did when I walked out the door? Nothing with food. Didn't bring food. Brought water. Nothing. All I did was get up and make a smoothie for Lisa and the kids and go out the door. And so there are ways, of course, this scenario is extreme because it's an exercise. I got to go that extreme to get you guys to actually think so you don't get hung up on, well, how much time am I actually spending? I say zero, just for the point of this zero. Would you exercise more? Would you exercise more in a fun way? Would you go to yoga because you don't have time for it now, but you love it and you did it before and it seemed awesome? I used to run and that was, oh, so fun. I don't have time now. Well, now you have 2 hours a day. How about time with friends? All of a sudden, I don't have time to socialize because I'm so busy. Well, you take that stuff out. All of a sudden, there's your artwork. There's your time to come home, walk in the door, put your bag down, hang out with your spouse or partner and talk. Not about food, about stuff. Watch a movie for fun and not just more time to do anything that you love. The point of the task, you ask. Yeah, it rhymed. I'm that way. I have a natural sort of affinity to rhyming. Okay. The second task you ask, the purpose is to find out maybe those things that you value and want to do in your life that are non-food related so that you can now maybe take steps to do more of those things and sort of even and balance them out with this crazy all caps food discussion that takes up our lives in a just a, you know it. I mean, rarely is it somebody that I meet who just isn't interested in food. I love how people go, I'm a total foodie. Yeah, who's not a foodie? I mean, who's not a freaking foodie? I'm a foodie. But that doesn't mean I have to do it every single day. I love food. I love it. But man, now that I've sort of introduced myself to the idea of maybe not eating sometimes so that I can simplify and do other fun stuff, I'm like becoming a lifey. I'm a lifey. I like living, and food is one of those things. I like having a fun, engaged, exciting life. Hashtag lifey. Okay, I don't even know how to spell it. I just coined it. How do I know? I can't spell and coin at the same time. I'll have a spelling for you next week. It could be L-I-F-E-Y. Could be L-I-F-I-E. I don't know. Somebody hashtag it, will you, and let me know how to spell it? Maybe I can ask my 7-year-old twins since they spell really, really well. Do you see what I did there? Rhymed again. Boom. Okay. The Wim Hof program. If you guys are just joining me, I'm finishing up week 6. Tomorrow morning, I will be done with week 6. Yes, it's taken me like 10 days. I've told you that, to finish a given week because of my schedule. Now, here's what I'm doing every day. I do the breathing exercises every 7 days a week. I mean, I've never missed a day without doing breathing exercises, and I've done cold showers 7 days a week. That I don't miss. But the whole like yoga thing and from start to finish, that's I don't do that every single day just given my schedule. So it's usually taking me, I get 7 days done in about 10 days. Fine. Still feeling really good. The cold thing is like a whole nother world. I'm addicted to cold showers now. I was not showering for like 9 months, and now I do like 2 showers a day. No soap, but I get in there cold and just cold. And I mean freaking cold, like cold. Got it? Good. But in the yoga portion, I may or may not have twisted in one of the yoga exercises, which is a twist. I may have gone a little too, I don't recollect. I may or may not have twisted a little bit too much, and I kind of tweaked my back. I have run on it since. I'm okay, but I feel it. And so the me of this scenario, and if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that right now I'm literally sweating. This is so hard for me to like just deal, work out in my own brain. I took some days off from running because I feel it. And Bree was like, you want to go for a run on Sunday? And I was like, yeah, but no, I do. And I, boom, my head just blew up. It blew up. I took some days off. For Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 days off. And feeling better for it. Feeling good about it. My back's kind of back in, and I'm going to take a nice light run tomorrow morning. Now, you might say, well, you're training for a 50K, and I would say to you, sir, or madam, as the case may be, 5 days ain't going to break the bank. I'm still about over a month out. I'm a good month and a half, month and 3 weeks out. This ain't going to break the bank. In fact, I think it's probably a good time to do a little mid-training taper kind of deal. And I'm back on the saddle tomorrow. Okay? I'll keep you posted on that. But I want you to know that I did twist a little too hard, pushed a little too hard, hadn't done yoga in a long time, and I'm digging it enough. I practice yoga for 10 years in Los Angeles. And I mean 2 or 3 days a week and religiously. Love it. Love yoga. Now, in sort of, this is way before I was a nutritionist and health coach and sort of doing the research I've done on movement and all these kinds of things. I think yoga's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. But my brain right now is getting into more functional movement. And me sitting with one leg tucked underneath and one leg over that leg and twisting isn't functional unless somebody was like, hey, can you imitate a pretzel? And I'm like, yes, I can imitate a pretzel. Then there would be a reason for that. Like they'd be like, I'll buy you a single malt scotch if you can look like a pretzel. Then I would be like, that's a completely functional movement I just did because I got a free single malt. But most days I don't have to twist like a pretzel. Okay. What I need to do are things like get groceries out of my car, for instance, right? Pick up my children, for instance. I'm more in the mindset of how do I build those kinds of full body musculature kinds of movements better? How do I do those better? And that's partly why I've been trail running for years, is because it's a more functional movement. It's a more taxing, in a good way, by the way, on the body. It uses multiple muscles. When you're running on a little single track trail has roots and rocks and ledges and things, and you're jumping, and it's a full body engagement that I love. And so my brain is kind of in that. I'll put it this way. When the Wim Hof program is finished, I will 100% continue with the breathing and 100% continue with the cold therapy. I've talked about that before. I think I talked about it last week or the week before. I am seeing the long-term part of this. There's no way this 10 weeks is going to do really much. It's doing a lot, actually, but it's not, to me in my life, I want to see what's going on a year from now, just FYI, or two. So I'm looking ahead, got the long view as small steppers do. It is strengthening my body and it's definitely strengthening my mind. That is happening already. So I can only imagine if I continue this process 2 years down the line. I don't know if I'm going to continue the yoga. I don't know. I don't know. I could. I just don't know. Got it? Okay. So let me dive into just a point that I want to make, because I think here's what I think the instinct is for all of us and me too. When we think about our lives, when we get that moment and we go, okay, I've had it. I am freaking done. I need a change. I need a change. I am not happy with XYZ. I am tired of being out of shape. I am tired of being, you know, I can't get off the couch. I'm tired of eating too much, binging. I'm tired of not getting along with my partner / spouse. We perceive something that we really want to change, that we maybe have gotten to the point where we're done. Like we are ready for a big change. Got it? It's a natural reaction to then say, okay, big change needed, big solution also needed. I better match my discontent with how overweight I am with a freaking diet that is day one, just boom, all the way to match how unhappy I am with my body. That's our instinct. That makes sense to us. We go, well, huge change. I'm super freaking unhappy, and I want this done, and I want it done now. And I want to make this point. When you undertake being a small stepper, when you say, I am so unhappy with my life right now for this reason, let's just use the weight thing because it's such an easy thing, right? I am so freaking unhappy that I have been overweight for this long. I used to be in good shape and have much more energy, and now I'm just not feeling good in my body, and I'm freaking sick of it. There are a plethora of ways to have big solutions to that problem. One of them would be going on a diet. But I don't want the perception to be that if you say I am that unhappy and my huge big solution is going to be a small stepper, that somehow that's not a huge big solution, because it freaking is. I just want to be clear about that. It's as big a solution as any diet. It is a huge undertaking to be a small stepper. It is as massive, if not, I would say more massive than going on a diet, because not only are there actions associated with being a small stepper, things that you do starting today, just like a diet, but there's thinking involved that is so much more and beyond any diet that is, you are engaged in such a massive way. But the thing is because you want to lose weight, you want a solution that is directly related to weight loss. Small stepping is directly related to the entirety of your life and getting down to the nitty gritty of maybe why you got to be overweight in the first place or whatever that thing is for you. But make no mistake, undertaking to be a small stepper is a big, huge solution. It is huge, massive solution. It is something that you go, this is going to change my life, but just not in 21 days. Dig, but don't minimize, well, I could do these massive big solutions to my problem, or I could do like Sid's thing, which is like maybe just taking it a little easy. No, it's a huge undertaking to think in a completely different way and take on your life in a completely different way. Just because we want big changes doesn't mean we need something that is going to be overtaking this problem in 21 days. Remember, like I always say, your issues or things that you want to change are years in the making. So it's a massive thing to say, yeah, I'm going to undertake this in a way that's going to take me years. That's way harder and way more massive than a 21 day. That's easy. That's easy. That's just using up your willpower until you burn out and go back to your own deal. That's easy. That's the easy thing. That's why we can look, people pull off multiple diets. That's the whole yo-yo. If dieting were so hard, then why are a ton of people yo-yo dieting? Because it's freaking easy. You put your thinking on hold. You follow something that somebody hands to you essentially, and you get it done. And when you're done, you go back to your life most of the time. Statistics prove me right in that regard. Small steps is different. You're taking on small steps and you never end. It's never ending. It's the rest of your life potentially if you want to keep moving toward who you are. The rest of your freaking life. Isn't that amazing? I will tell you this. for many of my clients. And I've talked about adaptive stress, like just this way that small steps, every small step is stress, and that there's the adaptive stress, which is like, and I talked about last week with a cultural lag, like a little bit of stress to allow your body to catch up. If you do big stress, you don't catch up. You just push through the big stress and you haven't grown and evolved. So the adaptive stress. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of my clients, for them, the adaptive stress is doing less. I just rhymed again. What is going on here? I am like poetry in freaking motion today. It's like I'm Olivia Newton freaking John over here. Adaptive stress is for them because we're accustomed that if we want a big change, we're accustomed to saying, okay, I'm going to take on a ton to make that done, to just get that done. I just did another rhyme, taking on a ton to get that done. Oh my God, is somebody documenting this? I should really do is record these things. Doing less sometimes is the very adaptive stress that we need. It's the very learning thing that is so foreign to us that if we try to just do less, then we grow as a result of that. We evolve as a result of doing less. Isn't that kind of weird? But if your thing is like, to solve this problem, I must do, and I must do more. And if I do more, I get the problem solved faster. And when you have to like wrap your brain around the reality, as I see it, that sometimes that's the opposite of the truth. And sometimes if you actually don't do, holy man, is that just weird for people. A lot of times when I have clients who have big interest in food and bigger interest in weight, I deal with that last. That's last on the list because that's first on their list. I want to deal with what's the food thing. Yeah, we'll deal with that later. We'll kick that can down the alley because I don't want to deal with the thing that's taking up most of their mental real estate. Boom! That's the subject of this podcast. Are you kidding me? I don't want to do that for them. I don't want to feed that beast. No pun intended. I don't want to play into the just inordinate amount of attention that they've placed on food. I don't want to play into that. I want to spread them thin. I want to open them up to other stuff. I want to replace some of that stuff in their brain with other stuff that they totally want to be doing. Not that I tell them to do and that you should want to paint, but they maybe want to paint, but they don't have time to paint in their brains because they're spending all their time thinking about freaking food that's exhausting and unnecessary and fun in limited amounts, maybe. And I'm not talking about calories. I just mean the getting high of it. I'm going to go on a quick tangent here before I jump into the subject, which I kind of already have. But I got the nicest thing ever. I get lots of nice things. So this is one. It's in the top one. It's in the top 1%. It's the top 1%. Okay? Occupy this thing I got. One of a podcast listener who I actually met at the Stanford Inn sent me a handmade card and envelope, watercolored. Why? Art. Wants to get art back into her life. She's a small stepper. She's working with a thing. Guess what comes back? Watercolor that she always loved to do, but don't have time. I open the envelope up. This very nice note. There's a little bit of money, not for me, for my freaking daughter to buy ingredients to make more horse treats. I'm not even joking. I stole it. I didn't give it to her. I'm just saying it was there for her. I took the $7. What am I going to give it to my daughter? She's 12 years old. She doesn't understand money. I gave it to her to mini Christmas. But also there was a card, hand-painted little piece of artwork, a little watercolor. And what it was a screenshot from one of my videos, from one of my YouTube videos. She took a screenshot, and a lot of times I'll do like shots of Mendocino and sort of the landscape. So it'll be the ocean or whatever. So one of those images caught her eye, and she took a screenshot of it. And I was in the shot, by the way. And so here's what she did: she removed me out of the shot. She wrote to me in that very nice note, except for that one little, just like a clause. It wasn't even a whole sentence. By the way, I removed you out of the picture because she said it's because she doesn't know how to paint people and it was too hard. But if you look at the quality of her artwork, she totally could have painted me. I'm just saying, how it's a stick figure. It's a bald circle head. Bald guys are easy to draw. And so she painted this gorgeous little landscape in watercolor and thanked me for the help. And I have it on my wall at work and I'm going, are you kidding me? I mean, is this not the coolest thing ever? Like, she's doing artwork. Are you kidding me? So thanks to her, and she knows who she is. You know who you are. I emailed her back today. I mean, unbelievable. I just that you guys are inspiring, I don't know, it leaves me speechless. And I'm a guy who talks for an hour every week and annoys 94% of the people who listen to the podcast. She's amazing and inspiring, and it's it brings me to emotions because I go, this is real, this is people, and real. And you know, I talked about it in my most recent video, which was Healthy Is Not Just for the Wealthy, about how maybe there's a perception on YouTube or otherwise, you know, you see people who are like living really well and maybe they have like really fancy lives and they fly off to Thailand to, you know, because they're surrounded by fresh fruit. And I don't even know. And that's amazing. I would love to do that too sometimes. But what I am devoted to are the people who you guys, because I know basically who my listeners are because I meet them on occasion and I get emails from people. So I have a pretty darn good idea that most of you, and there's no judgment for people who do that fancy stuff. It's freaking awesome. I would love to do it too. But I'm devoted to the people who are trying to figure out a better way to do this and still are busy and don't have these kinds of amenities and luxuries, more on that in another episode, that enable them to do this in an easier way. I want to talk to the people who are having a hard time with this because I want to show you, like me, because I work full-time and my wife works full-time and we're not independently wealthy. We bust our asses and we don't have fancy stuff. And if I could afford it, I probably would have fancier stuff. That's neither here nor there. I'm just negotiating health, and I think I'm doing pretty darn good because I'm trying to live the example for you guys and for my family, for instance. How do you do that? How do you do that and not have somebody to prepare food for you every day? How do you do that and have a full-time job and have a commute and things that are real, modern life struggles, real, day-to-day? How do you do that? That's my goal here. And so to get feedback from somebody who is, you know, negotiating that stuff and still finding a way to insert watercoloring because for one reason and one reason only, makes her feel good, makes her life better. I'm assuming she sent it to me because she makes me feel good, and that makes her feel good in turn. So she not only creates this art, she has the courage to put it into the world. And it's excellent. But here's the thing. I don't care if it's excellent or not. I don't care. Because I care that she put a freaking brush on paper. That's what I care about. I want you guys to put brush on paper or whatever that form is for you. Put the brush on the paper. I don't care what the product is. I am moved by the fact that she's doing something and she's not 15, that she's probably not done in years and wants to make a difference in her own life and is finding out through this process that she's strong and able and can figure out a solution to making time in her life to change her life. It's massive and it blows my mind. I've been doing this for over 3 years, this podcast. I've been practicing as a nutritionist and health coach for 7 years, a little over that now. And my mind is still blown by the strength of the people that contact me and are making changes against all freaking odds. And I mean it. I mean against all odds. Advertising. Ease of not paying attention to your life, ease of just distracting yourself via technology and all the other things that aren't healthy for us, and light box food, and pushing through that, it's just awesome. It's inspiring to me, and I hope that in turn I can turn that around and help you guys figure out better ways to do that in your own lives. Okay. So I'm going to finish up with a little touching upon what I've already touched upon a few times in this episode already, which is invest in real estate. Okay, now I'm not a financial whiz. I'm not going to sit here and change the podcast theme to now let's talk about investing in real estate, because it's not that. It's figurative. It's a metaphor. It's mental real estate. It's assessing how much space in your brain, for instance, is taken up by food like we talked about before. How much in that second task, how much mental real estate is taken up by your job? How much space in your brain when you get home is taken up by your job? Sometimes I get home, my wife's like, how does it work? And I don't really want to, it's not like the guy thing, like I don't want to express myself. It's just not important to me. Like I don't want to talk about it because whatever happened today or some days is just not important. If it is, then and it's relevant to life and living well and a story that I met somebody who was awesome, ready to go, or something that's stressful in a way that, you know, affects my life in a more than just annoyance, I'll talk about it. But, and she's the same way. Like, I'll be like, how is it? Nothing. It's eh. Because I would rather get into stuff of ideas and conversations and things that are me. Do I fall into the minutia? Of course I fall into the minutia. We all do. I can't be me 100% of the time. I'm still figuring that out. But I'm more me than I was 10 years ago. You're just by gum. Okay? Here's the deal. Anything that you bring into consciousness, painting that picture, for instance, it becomes a choice. When you bring something into consciousness, it becomes a choice. And when it becomes a choice, it takes up mental real estate in your brain. If it's not a choice, if it's brushing your teeth, that doesn't take mental, if I'm assuming that's a habit for you, it's not taking up real estate. There's no plot of land in your brain that's devoted to brushing your teeth, at least not in the, yes, somebody's going to go, well, actually, when you get to habit to the point where it's a behavior, your brain moves it to another area where you can still walk and not think about it, and then you can do other stuff. Yes, I get it. I'm talking about the consciousness place, the place where we choose the lives that we want to live, the place that we choose the actions that make us happier. That stuff is being taken up by crap. That area is being taken up by crap. It takes up space in the brain. The difference that I want to make about this, by the way, is once, well, I'll put it this way. I'll just say this. Once allocated, so let's say we do something enough where we, you know, eat healthy food and we just get it down, like last week, where all of a sudden you're realizing you're just kind of watching yourself eat healthy food. And you're like, oh my God, I'm eating healthy food. And then it becomes a habit. We have two options. One, once that thing becomes a habit, we then just stagnate. Becomes a habit and we just like that, that's it. Or we say, okay, dial that in. Now I'm going to bring in new stuff. That's how we evolve. That's how we grow. Otherwise, if we don't, that there's a space now. So this space of a salad every day and it becomes a habit. Now all of a sudden that space taken up by that does get moved to that other area where now it's not to think about. Now that space is left. There's real estate now. Now we got to invest in that now. What are we going to build there? Because if we don't build there, stuff gets built there. That's how we get filled up with mindless entertainment all the time. And again, I'm a big fan of mindless entertainment. Just at what level? Because it will then take hold and grow in that space. Or we can say, okay, got that dialed in. Okay, now where's my other thing? What's my newest thing that's going to give me joy? And that's how we grow. But I want to make this point, this very important point, because I've had clients who have said this before. So in other words, I'll say something like, well, I'll suggest a step. It's always up to them, but I'll suggest. I'll go, okay, so you don't really exercise, and you want to exercise. So how about 1 minute walk per day? And I've had clients go, that's ridiculous. I walk around all day. My job is walking. I'm active all day. Now, can you guess what the qualitative difference is between walking around all day as part of your job? You're not there when you do that. You're in your job. Walking for a minute a day, and I don't care if you walk as part of your job for 5 hours that day. If when you say intentionally, on purpose, I'm going to now walk for a minute, it's a completely different ball game. Why? Because it's now into consciousness. It's now choice. It's now taking up mental real estate in your brain in the place that is about you making your life better. It is on purpose versus unintentional. It is on purpose versus functional. Well, I have to walk to get from here to here. So that's not really something that's I'm doing to make my life better. When you add the value added thing, when you apply thought that is, I'm going to do this thing that, yeah, I've done it all day, but I haven't really, there's no why to it except for that I got to get from, you know, this office to that office. But now I'm going to walk for a minute because I'm going to exercise. I'm choosing to move my body now in a qualitatively different way. I'm now going to do this on purpose because for the reason of making my life better, for the reason of taking a moment to step out of the modern craziness and devote just to me. When you do that, it pushes the crap out of your brain and fills it with that little 1 minute walk. It's not about the calories that you burn during that 1 minute walk. It's not about musculature, tendons, ligaments, nothing. It's nothing. It's that time. It's that knowledge that now I am a person who exercises every day. That's all wrapped up in this one little teeny pissant action that has ramifications that are so far beyond that 1 minute, it's the rest of your life in the making. It's the because that's the place that then becomes the marathon that you run 3 years later. Just got an email from a podcast listener who just ran her first half marathon, and she was intending only to run 6 miles of it and just kept running and just finished half mile, blew her own freaking mind. She's been training and just did, I was only going to run six. I just ran 13. Amazing. Until you realize it's not that amazing, because when you engage in your life and are allowing yourself the freedom to try new things without beating yourself up in the process, that is the stuff that happens. That is the stuff that happens. I'm not an amazing runner because I ran 50 miles. I'm a crappy runner. The reason I ran 50 miles is because I did it the right way, is because I learned from my own mistakes and said, if I'm going to do this, it's going to have to be this way. It's going to have to be slowing down and not pushing myself, because I'm not a great runner. I don't have natural running ability. I want to see if I can pull this off in that context. I don't have time to run for hours every day because I have my job and family and everything else. So how do I do it like that? That's what healthy living is for me, for you guys too. It's given that I do have this, can I still do this? Well, what will it take for me to do it in this context? It's a massive question, you guys. Instead of, I have to change all the things that I have in my life, how about, how can I do this in spite of all the things that I have in my life? And that is the thinking that takes up real estate in your brain. You invest in yourself in that way. And you actually put thought to, what am I able and willing and want out of my life? What am I willing and able to take on for real? What is that going to mean for me long term? What are the lessons I learned from treating myself really well? And yes, getting a life, a real concrete result, finishing the 50 miler, but so like balanced with all the other things I gained that really finishing, while yes, I'm so happy that I finished, because it's like, it would have been a bummer if I hadn't, but that's not nearly what I got from that process. Not by a long shot was what I got. I have fear and pressure and failure and perfection and all these things swirling in my brain, and I gave myself time and mental real estate to devote to that. I gave myself space in my own head that I pushed out other non-important, non-essential items to say, let me see how this plays out during this process. Massive. Massive. The steps list that I talk about is the tools that help you achieve these things. I've used the analogy in one of my videos recently that we ask our bodies to build us a house. But in the modern world, via our nutrition, lack of thereof, and I'm talking about nutrition, not calories, I'm talking about micronutrients, don't give our body the tools to build that house. Well, the mind is the same way. We want to build that house, but we're not giving our minds, the tools to build that house. We say build us a house, and that would be maybe happiness. In the body's sense, it's health. But we're not giving the mind tools to do that. We want to be happy without doing giving ourselves the tools to actually achieve that for real. That means over time, introducing things into your life via small steps that you can see. If you think that art is 45 minutes a day, you'll do nothing. You'll go, that's too much. I'm not going to do it at all. Or you'll do it for a short time, then quit and feel like a failure. And then that's not actually building anything in your brain. That's a short-term done, it's out, it didn't make any real change. But if you say, I want to do art, so I'm going to do a minute per day, that's, you actually do take up space in your brain for real, for long-term, that then grows and expands, and you are giving your mind the tools to be happy. You've just given your body another real tool. Quick fix stuff and short-term stuff is like, here's some, oh, I'm taking it away. Body goes, yeah, I'll take, oh my gosh, there, it's gone, it's gone. Now I can't do anything with it. I didn't learn anything with it. I didn't take anything past this diet, except for just eating different food, but I didn't learn self-esteem or self-confidence or achievement because I didn't engage in that way. I just followed what somebody told me. I didn't decide on myself. The steps list is that are the tools. The steps list is the tools for your happiness, the same way that healthy food is the tools for your physical health. It is saying, here's the space I'm going to take up in my brain. Not 100%, we still have stuff in our brain. We still get wrapped up in crap and office politics and stuff that bums us out, and stress and hypotheticals that never have occurred, never are gonna occur, but we're stressed at 3 a.m. thinking about them, what might happen at work the next day. That's all gonna, it's there. But man, through a stepsis, we wake up and we see this thing external to us and we go, okay, I'm gonna start planting here with this stuff. I'm gonna push subtly over time, push some of this crap out, and I'm gonna live better for it. I'm gonna be better for it. And it's a struggle like everything else that's worthwhile, and we take that on too. And by doing that, we realize we are strong, we are able, and there is never a real excuse for being too busy or not having enough money or not having you know, the right support. There's never an excuse at all for not treating ourselves well, at least in some way, every day. Dig? All right, you guys. I am signing off for today. My dog is barking in the background, which is essentially the rooster on my land. When my dog barks, it's like, podcast is over. You guys are awesome. Listen, if you have any questions or comments or whatever, just podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Okay, again, thanks for all of your support in whatever form that comes, you guys. I don't do this without you guys. That is a fact, okay? Treat yourselves well. Find things that you love. And just at that point, do a little bit to get those into your life. That's it. It's pretty simple, but so hard because of how we've been conditioned and everything. So just take it easy. All right? I'll be here next week. All right? I'll be here next week. You come in and you listen once a week and you reset your freaking clocks. Okay? Because you deserve it. All right. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, you guys, be well. I'm killed and killed, 'cause I can't find the strength to wake up. I'm dead and dead, 'cause my cares went away with you. I'm feared and feared, 'cause I walk around with no ground beneath. Dreams, they keep on rolling. Plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. I'm lost, I'm lost. Finding means nothing to me. I'm drunk, I'm drunk, 'cause I can't face another day. I'm spent, I am spent, 'cause I watched you throw it all away. Dreams, they keep on rolling. The plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away, away. Keep on rolling. The plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. Dreams, they keep on rolling. The plans, they are making.
can do is package them away.